Welcome back to another episode of Let's Remake a Movie. Prepare to have your mind blown by horrendous plotlines, unforgivable mashups, and so many explosions. Podcast not sponsored by Michael Bay. Suit up, strap in, and let's remake a movie.
Are we ready to get going?
Sure.
All right.
Let's do it.
Okay. Laura, are you ready?
I am, with, of course, again, the caveat that I watched Inception a total of 2 times in my entire life to prepare.
When was the last time you watched it?
Last week, in order to prepare for this.
Okay.
In fairness, I think I've only watched it 2 or 3 times myself, but I watched it, let me see, was it yesterday? You know, well, something I found interesting is that, and I can totally see this, I could see it when I heard about this, and I can see it, you know, when I watch it again, is that the whole thing is a metaphor for filmmaking, which actually makes it really interesting, in my opinion.
Like, I think that's giving Nolan way too much credit.
I disagree. I think he's insane enough that would absolutely be something he would do.
And plus, he would think of himself as a dream, as somebody who goes within dreams. And even in, like, yeah, because, like, each person, isn't it, like, each person in the movie represents an aspect of filmmaking?
Yeah, like, you know, Leo is the director. His wife, his dead wife is passion, you know, whatever his muse is that drives him to do what he does. Then you have Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Arthur, who's the more level-headed, how are we going to do this, producer. You've got Saito, who's the big bucks, the studio head, who, you know, when Leo sits down with him and tries to convince him to give him a job, he finds himself torn between, you know, his passion because his wife shows up versus, you know, how is he going to actually make something worthwhile for this guy? You've got Tom Hardy, who's an actor. You know, he turns into different characters. You know, he's playful. He, you know, twists and turns himself around in order to fit whatever he needs to fit. Then Ariadne is the writer who creates basically the world that they inhabit. So it's an interesting way to think about it. I mean, I can totally see it.
That's really cool.
Yeah, but whether or not it's relevant to Seth Rogen and basically a weedception or jointception or whatever the hell we're calling a stoner.
We were going to call it Sethception. We called it Sethception, but weedception could work.
Inception,
I think, is better. All right. So I was trying to think of, like, a plot to turn the concept of Inception into, like, a Seth Rogen weed joint. And I was thinking that there's 2 things that we can build off of this. One, Seth Rogen and a bunch of his movie star friends, James Franco, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Jonah Hill, that whole crew, they get hired to rob somebody through dreams and eames, and they hire Seth Rogen because nobody's going to suspect him just because he's some dumb stoner dude. And the way they invade the dreams is there's a new strain of weed that's so dank it can allow you to enter someone else's dreams. However, unless you're huge,
so high that you think you can.
Or maybe that's the twist. Maybe we never reveal it. But it's too strong for any normal person to use. So Seth Rogen is the only mortal man who can possibly
he's got such a tolerance to weed to begin with. That's that right. His constitution is built for this specific strand.
Yes, only his.
What
tolerance.
Is the name of this dream marijuana?
Well, I was going to say, do you guys think that we could get the rights to incorporate evil bong into this?
Oh my God.
You guys ever see that?
That was a thing. Jesus Christ, that's a horrible movie.
What's evil bong?
It's like this marijuana bong that after you take a hit of it, I think, like, it's like you get possessed or something.
You basically get sucked into the bong spirit that haunts the bong because it shows you exactly what you want to see.
That sounds so dumb.
And then, you get sucked into bong world. And then I think at the end, like, Cheech or Chong shows up. And he, like, saves the day by getting sucked into the bong world and letting everyone else escape or something. I forget.
There were literally, I think, 8 or 9 of these movies.
8 or 9? Wow.
Including one that was a parody of Passion of the Christ.
Oh, no.
I think there was also a crossover with Ginger Dead Man, too, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's like Spielberg making a crossover of Raiders and Jaws. I mean, how can you not love that? Okay, so Evil Bong, I feel like that could play into it somehow. So, like, it's going to be him and his whole crew going on the weed heist, right?
Well, yeah, because any heist movie, you have to have the heist dynamic, you know?
You gotta
you got to find, yeah, you got to build the team. You got to build your weed Avengers, you know?
You got to get your, you know...
Your Avengers.
It's just Cap getting high. Fat Thor getting him getting high would be a lot of fun.
Can you imagine like the Avengers theme song, but it's like reggae version?
Oh my god.
Well, okay. So speaking of music, one thing I think we should have happen is when they're all high and going into the different high weed bong worlds, is the Hans Zimmer has to play. Like when there's a super intense moment and they're all high and don't know what to do with themselves, that has to like be a constant presence.
In the background of it, there should be like bong bubble sound effects too at the same time.
I like that. Listen, you combine the Hans Zimmer with like weed background noises. I think that's a recipe for gold.
Like that becomes sort of the Edith Piaf when they try to wake up.
Yes. John, you have a remarkable talent for that. I was thinking of like also in addition to like the traditional weed plot, you'd have James Franco doing really weird artsy stuff as he was high in the different high worlds. I feel like that's got to be in there.
I feel like James Franco is the Tom Hardy here where every time, yes. You know, every world we go into, he's like somebody entirely different.
Yeah. And he always gets way too method into it and annoys everybody else.
Yes.
Until eventually at the final level, he's Tommy Wiseau.
Oh yes, that's gotta be in there. That's the climax of this whole thing. Absolutely. So James Franco is the kind of Tom Hardy. Seth Rogen, I guess, would be the Leo, or the director kind of guy. I was thinking Joseph Gordon-Levitt could be in this too because he's been in some other like Seth Rogen stuff. But you'd have like Jonah Hill and that whole crew.
I feel like Gordon-Levitt is just too talented to be lobbed in with the Seth Rogen crew. You know what I mean? Like, he's the actual actor amongst them.
Yeah, I'm inclined.
Maybe he's who they're trying to steal something from.
Seth's okay. Trying to get him into a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe
trying to plant the idea in his head to join them in some movie they're making.
We could have it be Joseph Gordon-Levitt. No, you know who could be even better for that? Adam Driver.
Oh my god.
They want to get Adam Driver high so he'll agree to be in their movie. And that's the plot of the movie.
And then what is the movie that they're trying, that the script that is so horrible that not even Adam Driver will say yes to it at this point?
Adam Driver's in mostly good stuff, Laura. Don't be disrespecting him.
I'm sorry. He just has two moods to me. Angry, yeah. And angrier. His range is so limited.
One face.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty.
No, even though a lot of women like him, apparently. But okay, so all right, so okay, the fake movie that they're having Adam Driver make, that they want Adam Driver to be in, it's got to be just a stupid stoner comedy that they think is hilarious.
Pineapple Express 4.
They're gonna have to make 2 and 3 first, but sure.
God.
Well, yeah, but they forget about that.
Yeah, that's the point.
Oh, okay.
The reason
why
he doesn't want to do it is
make 2 and 3. Yeah. That's why it's funny.
which is why they go into the dream, into the weed dream, and have to convince him that 2 and 3 have already been made or something.
Oh, okay.
So that he will agree to do.
So the inception is getting into Adam Driver's dreams and making him agree to do this movie.
I think that is like solid. Because that seems like something that Seth Rogen would actually be in.
Oh, yeah. I think he would want to do that, too. So there's got to be some Star Wars dreams, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is every, like, just in Inception, every dream has these levels, right?
Yeah.
So Adam Driver obviously has, his dreams are obviously levels of, like, his acting career. So whenever they go deeper into a level, they go deeper into, like, his repertoire.
Okay. Are we gonna get to the scene where Kylo kills Han Solo at some point and they're just like so anguished about it and wish they could do something?
Maybe, but at the same time, Seth Rogen is a huge Star Wars nerd. So he would be like, no, you must keep the story pure or something. Like, he obviously would have some sort of a theory to keep it as is.
Well, maybe the other, maybe that causes a conflict. Maybe the others want to save Han Solo and he's just like, no, we can't ruin it.
It's sort can't of ruin like the when, if you warp somebody's dream too much, then the people in the dream start to catch on and they try to take you out.
Yep. Oh, if you fuck with the Star Wars timeline at all, Adam Driver's subconscious will instantly turn on you and go Jedi badass on you because you're trying to fuck with the franchise.
And Adam Driver angry in Star Wars is bad news for anybody who he is angry at.
Heck yes. Heck yes.
I was going to say, James Franco is inexplicably in the Princess Leia bikini slave costume.
He's doing it so he can he's doing it to have great understanding as an actor. It's just like, no, you're not, man.
And then Carrie Fisher bitch slaps him.
Carrie Fisher come back from the dead. She's a Force ghost.
Get the fuck out of here.
I honestly, that sounds amazing. I'd honestly, if Carrie Fisher were still with us, that would be the most epic cameo imaginable because
Carrie Fisher has joined the Force. She is the Force. She's made the Force her bitch. She's around.
I'm totally fine with that. For the record, I think that's awesome. All right, we're getting some good stuff here. We've got we've got a plot. We've got Adam Driver. We've got some Star Wars stuff. Should we have a marriage story scene where they're
some kind of a thing in there.
Yeah. So is it like it goes in, it's just going to deeper levels of his subconscious and are they interacting with the dream Adam Driver at all in the way that they can interact with dream people in Inception?
I would say that they can. It's just more if they do too much to, warp the world around them that suddenly, becomes more problematic. So if we're going to do a marriage story scene, then I think James Franco has to turn himself into Scarlett Johansson so as not to throw them off.
Yes. So James Franco is doing a Mrs. Doubtfire kind of thing where he's like switching parts.
He's like the Tom Hardy, and Tom Hardy is switching, at one point he's Tom Berenger, at another point he's, a British woman. He can turn himself into other characters in these dreams, as it were.
Because how else are they going to plant the idea in Adam Driver's mind that he's going to join them on this epic quest of terrible movie making?
Yes, Pineapple Express 4, this time it's personal. And of course, too soon to be followed by Pineapple Express 5, Where's the Pizza? Yeah, so we talked about the Hans Zimmer score. I mean, there's generally going to be weed and potty humor throughout this whole thing, I would imagine.
I think what's also important to determine is every character in Inception plays a specific role. So you've got Leo, who's the leader, Ellen Page, who's the architect, Tom Hardy, who they call him a forger, but he's essentially the actor, person who can blend in and get them the information they want. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's the, support guy. Ken Watanabe, who's the financier. And then I'm going to forget the actor's name. His character's name is Yusuf, who supplies the drugs that they use to go under. So I think in talking about a stoner comedy, we have to talk about who's the grower, who's the dealer, and roles that each person plays here.
Maybe Jonah Hill is the dealer and Michael Cera is the grower.
Michael Cera as a weed kingpin is such a bizarre image to me.
Yeah, that's a lot.
What about
just so innocent.
What about Danny McBride?
Danny McBride, much better than Michael Cera.
Yes.
If anything, he's almost like the Ellen Page, the innocent guy who's kind of guiding everything along. That makes more sense. So, yeah, Danny McBride would be the weed grower. And, and he would also want to be Scarlett. And Jonah Hill is kind of the weed dealer who fashions himself as Scarface. I mean, we've already got a one, James Franco being a delusional actor. We could have a Scarface. I would be down.
And he's trying to grow the most powerful strain imaginable.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Which is, to some extent, the plot of Pineapple Express.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Basically.
Oh, well, yeah. Obviously, they've succeeded if they're going to be in, if they're having this weed that's so powerful, it can weed walk into other people's dreams.
Yes, absolutely. It can transcend space and time. So I was thinking of At some point, the crew has to get too high that they're they can't move anymore, and they're listening to some type of music. I initially thought it would be Led Zeppelin, but maybe it is like a stoner type song from Dazed and Confused, like Slow Ride or Sweet Emotion or something.
I would also say so. Stoners have simultaneously the best and worst taste in music imaginable. So okay. To that end, I feel like if it's the song that's meant to wake them up, it might have to be something so horrible that they're like, what is this shit?
What? Okay. What's so bad that it could wake stoners out of their stupor and make them like sober again?
Does Taylor Swift count?
Yes, absolutely.
Taylor Swift counts. If you watch South Park, it's Slayer. That's a Taylor Swift cover of Raining Blood.
Oh God. Okay, let's go with a
turn red.
No, please keep going.
I don't know any of the other lyrics.
Rain blood from the lesser of the skies.
This one is dedicated to John Mayer.
And how much I want to kill his dumb ass.
Okay, so let's go with the Taylor Swift cover of Slayer's Raining Blood. Oh, because why not?
It's, like, it's the worst. What do they call it? The bump, the jump, the bump? What do they call it when in Inception?
The drop.
The drop.
The drop, the drop is.
Yeah, so that's the thing Taylor that gets Swift. Them out of the dreams. Yes.
Yep.
Okay, so that's. So, like Taylor Swift covering an 80s heavy metal song is bad enough to get them out of their dreams. You know,
it'd be bad enough to wake me up. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, she did a concert with Def Leppard. I see no reason why she wouldn't do one with Slayer.
Wait. What?
Is this real? What?
This is a thing?
Back it up.
This is a thing?
Yeah, they released a live collaboration album.
Oh, God. That sounds like awful.
Okay, now I'm worried that I'm actually in Inception right now because this feels like a dream.
I've seen the video. It's a very strange thing watching her sing. And, you know, this is back. This is, geez, probably close to 10, 12 years ago, maybe, where she was very relatively new and still squeaky clean. So seeing her sing Pour Some Sugar on Me is very, very bizarre.
Yeah. That's
still not squeaky clean, but even so, it's just very. It's a very clear stripper jam. You don't really think of.
That song is very sexual. Not a country sweetheart song.
No, it is not.
Okay.
Wow. It was on CMT Crossroads.
Sort of like when Bon Jovi went country for that album.
Oh man. Oh, that's right. Bon Jovi did go country for an album. Listen, you make money by going country. That's just a fact.
You also sell your soul to Satan, but you know, tomato potato.
Okay, so the Taylor Swift cover of Raining Blood that is apparently now a thing is going to be the device used to get people out of their weed dreams. So basically to save them and wake them up. So what are the different levels? So we've got a Star Wars level, we've got like a Marriage Story level. Maybe there's like a we can't have there be a Marines level. No, that sounds awful.
You could do, he was briefly in Lincoln. He was also the boyfriend in Girls. If you wanted to have, James Franco turn into, what's her face?
Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham, that's it.
Oh, God.
plant the idea.
Okay, they do have to plant the idea. And he plays Lena Dunham, who tells Adam Driver in Girls that he should be in a Seth Rogen movie.
Yes, that she would really love him if he was only in a Seth Rogen flick.
Oh, God. Exactly. And then you got to have...
And beyond that, we got to remember that Girls has the very non-censored... It's HBO, so, you know, they can show just about anything with the level of things that they're doing in that show, which did include doggy style between Lena Dunham and Adam Driver. It was...
That's just charming.
Scrub my eyes with sandpaper, personally, but...
Sounds charming. That sounds like a lovely time, but
simultaneously hilarious and horrifying.
I'd imagine.
Burning clown car where you know more clowns keep coming out. They're all on fire and screaming and stuff, but they just keep coming and you know eventually one gets stuck in the door and they're like climbing over him. It's
Sean, I'm worried about you. Is this an actual dream you've had?
Maybe
I've been alone too long.
Sean, well, yeah, maybe we need to have Seth Rogen invade your dream, Sean. Yeah. I was just about to ask, what would you rather watch? The Lena Dunham, Adam Driver girls sex scene or Taylor Swift and Ifton Def Leppard?
Oh, God.
sex scene.
Can I watch Lena Dunham have sex with Taylor Swift?
No, absolutely not.
That's no. I guess it would be the drummer. Which one would last longer, and the other one is what I would pick. Whatever one is quicker.
Here's the girl scene was maybe 2 minutes. The Taylor Swift was a full concert, so I might have to watch Lena Dunham.
Okay, you know what? Yeah. Going with the shorter experience. Okay, you know what? Good call. I can respect that logic. Okay, so it's painful, but it's shorter. Okay, so let's get back to the main event. Me too, brother. But
so just to recap, you know, when last we left our stoner heroes, they have formed the alliance team of weedsters to go somehow kidnap or subdue Adam Driver in the real world, not the TV show, but in real life to subdue him. And dynamically, does he have to smoke the weed too, or is it just them who have to smoke the weed to get into his dreams?
I think he has to for sure.
Well, okay, so it must have started where like the guys are like, hey, Adam, we have this really cool script. It's called Pineapple Express 4. You have to make it with us. We have this perfect part for you. And he's like, nah, way, man, my career is on a high point, and since you haven't made 2 or 3, I'm out skis. And they go, oh, no problem. You're still our friend, though. So, hey, to show there's no hard feelings, let's pass the peace pipe. And that's how they get it started. But it's all a ruse. They're going to plant him. So they have the fight to say, why won't you do it? And then they come up with this idea that they're going to weed sept him. And I don't know.
That's great. And so
we could make it even more like weird in sci-fi if they knock him out or something. And then they like hook this thing up to his veins, and then it's hooked up to like a bong, and they all have to smoke it, and it like hooks up into his system.
Then again, in the age of COVID, it would be really easy to be like, hey, don't forget to put your mask on. And they've just like hooked it up to an air vent that has nothing but weed smoke in it.
Oh, okay. Listen, that's a good idea. Okay.
there's so many possibilities.
Okay. I think I like the mask one the best because it's topical.
Yes.
They trick him. To put on his mask, and that's how he accidentally ingests the, again, what is the name of this like super crazy dream weed?
Nuclear bomb weed? I don't know.
Bomb weed. I don't know. Like, I think it would have to be like,
We could name it after Steve Buscemi and just call it Buscemi weed.
I think that's an excellent idea for some reason.
We could go with Buscemi. I'm down for
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan. That one kind of works.
Is the point of Buscemi weed that it like makes your eyes look like Steve Buscemi's?
Yeah, that's how you know someone's under the influence of it.
Let's go with that.
So they trick Adam Driver into becoming so high that he falls asleep under the influence of the Buscemi weed. And then they themselves also imbibe together, but with this plan of they're going to go into level one of Adam Driver's mind, into the Star Wars realm of his subconscious, in order to begin planting the idea that they are the coolest men alive and only their script is going to be good for him. So they make it to the Star Wars level. They have their bump ready just to get out of it, but they got to go one. They have, just like Inception, they have to go like deeper and deeper to plant the idea in his head. So they would get this idea
from Mark Hamill in the Star Wars level.
Oh yeah.
Luke Skywalker? But he's in another
planet. Yeah, they wind up on the island where, you know, and instead of a long training sequence with Rey, he instead is instructing them that they need to go deeper.
I like that, but then so Adam Driver's not gonna appear in the Star Wars level.
No, but they try to get him and it doesn't work.
Because Seth Rogen and his cronies are such colossal F-ups, they of course would not be able to find Adam Driver in his own subconscious because the Star Wars universe is so vast inside Adam Driver's own mind. So they pop into his dream world, in his weed dream world, and they're on the wrong fucking island. Obviously, they end up with Luke, and Luke just looks at him like, oh my God, you guys are idiots, and has to train them on how to travel to go find him. So and between, this is the same, I think, between Luke and Leia's ghost, I think that they'll be able to find Adam Driver fast enough.
And this is the Luke that wanted to escape to the island to get away from Adam Driver after he turned him to the dark side. So that adds a wrinkle.
Heck yeah. He's like, why do you want to look for him? And so we have like that whole thing where Seth Rogen finally gets to use his Star Wars knowledge for good and try to convince the subconscious appearance of Mark Hamill playing Luke Skywalker to help him find Adam Driver playing Kylo Ren chill him out, so that he can chill out Kylo.
Also, you need to have Seth and his buddies going, whoa, that's Luke Skywalker.
I'm such a huge fan, dude.
Oh man, can you lift the rock? Can you lift the X-Wing? Okay. So we're all having fun with our impression.
Apparently.
Yeah, it's a little too much fun, maybe. So how do we get from Luke on his isolated planet to whatever the next level is?
So they obviously will like force them to go find Adam Driver in the Star Wars universe. Hence how they run into him almost killing, you know, spoiler alert, killing his father, Han Solo.
The movie's 5 years old. That's not a spoiler.
I admittedly just saw it for the first time last year. Anyways, all the boys are like, oh, we got to save him. We can finally save Han Solo. And then Seth Rogen's obviously like, no, we can't. Because then it'll interrupt the dream sequence way too much. You like my
Seth so that, Rogen should, that should be a conflict. Yeah. That should be a conflict. And then they're all saying they could have saved Han Solo. And Seth Rogen is the leader. And he tells them
we have to keep the continuity of the franchise intact. Just like Pineapple Express 4. And
straight to camera.
Like, this is why we're here.
You gotta have one person, like maybe it's Michael Cera, just like, am I the only one here who's not sure why we didn't just make Pineapple Express 2 and 3 first? And then everybody else gets pissed at him.
Like, oh, that would have been the smart idea. Way to mention it now, but we're too far into this weedception. We have to keep going. Yeah, we're
too far into the dream world.
And at some point, they're just sitting around smoking, and somebody goes, so does this technically mean that Palpatine fucked?
Yes, it does.
Have those great, like, those high moments when you're just like, have this clarity beyond the stars and just have... So after Kylo kills his father, he's obviously super distraught. So he's distraught. He's just killed his father. And what does he do in his subconscious dream but turn to his friends standing on the bridge? And they just offer him in the dream more Buscemi weed in the dream to take him to the next level. Like, man.
Okay. So then they start
to get him even higher. They put it in his respirator.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
The Kylo Ren respirator.
They're having to use the Kylo Ren mask to get even more.
So if anybody starts smoking weed like that now, that's our copyright.
Okay, so by the way, this
puts weed in a Darth Vader or Darth whatever the hell it is mask.
Kylo Ren mask.
Oh my God, why have we not thought of this before? It's such an efficient system.
I know I have to do it. I just don't know if I have the strength.
I can do it.
somebody give me the Lays. I really want some Lays.
Oh my God. Oh, okay, so they weed-sept Kylo via Adam Driver in the Kylo level of his subconscious to take him to the next level of his subconscious, which is the marriage story subconscious, to which he's looking around.
So it's Star Wars marriage story girls.
That's because it always goes in, like, it gets narrower and narrower as your subconscious goes down. That's what happens in that movie, right?
All right, so now we're in marriage story. So I assume we got to get to, when we come into the marriage story, it's got to be right in the thick of the argument between him and ScarJo.
Oh, hell yeah, because that's where all nightmares end up, right in the middle of something.
Yeah,
totally. Nobody ever remembers how they got there. They just wind up in the thick of it.
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah, like middle of that big argument scene that's become the meat. So I think we had discussed that James Franco tries to pretend to be
I don't think he tries to pretend to be ScarJo. I think he is ScarJo. You know, he's that Tom Hardy character where he...
So he thinks he's so such a good actor that he suddenly was takes on the appearance of ScarJo. And he's like, I'm going to do it. I can do it. Okay. I've seen Avengers enough times.
Okay. See, that, I like how that's the one he references.
So there he is, right in the middle, James Franco pretending to be ScarJo, going, I don't know why you're so upset, and trying to get him in. Our marriage would be so much better. If you like my ScarJo impression, I've been working on it for exactly 30 seconds.
it's uncanny, Laura. It's uncanny.
I know, right? Just pass out the Oscars now. You know, our marriage would be so much better if only you were in a Seth Rogen film, and trying to plant this freaking idea in their friend's head.
What if that's because, you know, the big art where they're getting into the big argument. What if James Franco, Scarlett Johansson is trying to get Adam Driver to buy into the idea that they should make Pineapple Express 4, but Adam Driver's just like, they only made one of those. You can't go from 1 to 4. And that's the big argument.
Yeah, they're just arguing and screaming at each other. And of course, because Franco doesn't have any other lines that he knows, he just is saying the same thing over and over again.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So now they're using the iconic scene to get it, like, to get it into Adam Driver's head. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And of course, because they're at that level of the dream, they have to go one level deeper, because that's what it is. You got to go 3 levels deep into Weedception in order to really plant that idea. And so as James Franco playing a Seth Rogen character, playing ScarJo, so many levels of this fucking cake.
This is a Robert Downey Jr. level of method acting. My God.
Some Tropic Thunder.
So he tells him, yeah, that we have to stop arguing with each other. And the only way we can stop and calm down is we've got to smoke this weed. And that's how they get Adam to smoke it again. That allows them to go one level deeper into his subconscious. And that's when we wake up and he's in girls.
Okay. Yeah. Now, so what's going on? So are we still having the thing where some people stay behind in each level and have to keep the dream going? Because that's a thing in Inception.
I would think that in order to allow the dream to continue in the rules of this weird universe we've created, one person has to stay behind to continue smoking weed with that version of Adam Driver, or the weed chain will break and he will wake up.
Now, here's it. Now, I agree, Laura. I agree, Laura. But here's what's going to happen with that. You have one of Seth Rogen's high friends who's high in the same universe as Kylo Ren. That can create a lot of narrative possibilities.
Of course it can, because you're going to have those flashes where you flash back to the other levels and these fuckers are trying it. I'm sorry, where these people are trying to get Kylo to calm down and smoke some more ganja while he's trying to simultaneously fight them off with his red lightsaber.
And then you have General Snoke and Hux and all the other evil people who are just telling him to stay evil and stay angry, because that's where the dark side.
Because you know that Kylo Ren is the kind of unchill dude that if he got that high, he would definitely be a paranoid guy. Like, he doesn't go straight to the munchies. He would go straight to the paranoia.
Man, they're watching us. Snoke is watching me. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So he's getting more paranoid. And as he's getting more paranoid, the Seth Rogen friend left behind, who is probably Michael Cera, because he's the most level-headed of them and he has to keep it together, is just kind of looking around awkwardly, like, I don't know what I need to do here.
And I feel like Michael Cera should have to evade death in the Star Wars Adam Driver high weed universe.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. That he's got a, you know, in the midst of some kind of a lightsaber, you know, weed battle, he's trying to fight off a high paranoid Kylo Ren to try to get him to continue smoking weed so the dream chain doesn't break.
And yes, absolutely.
You're going to have to, he probably has to call on, you know, the good Jedi. And I don't know who would be better to show up, if it would be Luke, Yoda, or the ghost of Carrie Fisher. That's just like, man. F those guys. Take a hit.
Well, I mean, why don't we, okay, so then you would, in effect, have someone's mother telling them to get high, which has never happened in the history of humanity, if Carrie Fisher was the one to do
that. I feel like Carrie Fisher would have done that in for real life.
Is it Carrie Fisher or is it Leia? crucial distinction.
I don't know. Well, because it's Adam Driver's subconscious, not Kylo Ren's subconscious, but he's Kylo Ren in his subconscious. And this is why I hate Christopher Nolan films. Where do you draw the line?
Because we don't even know the rules of this universe, and we don't even know the rules of the Inception universe. It's other insanity.
So I would say if anyone's going to tell him to take it easy and to smoke a blunt, I don't know, should Rey show up and be like, Kylo, it's okay.
They had an emotional connection there. They had a bond. Maybe they reach out to each other and there's a contact eye.
Yeah.
There.
Exactly. So if Kylo won't smoke it, Rey starts smoking it and then gives him the contact high via the Force to calm him down.
My God, we're totally changing the Star Wars universe through this whole thing. I didn't even think that was going to happen.
Apparently, that is things that can happen when you are Force twins or whatever the heck they were. So I didn't even know that.
Or something.
Force diet. Yeah, the two sides of the same Force coin here. So, and then of course we have to cut back to the other levels of Marriage Story, where poor James Franco has stayed behind as ScarJo, trying to get Adam Driver to continue smoking. But all Adam Driver is doing is getting horny and gumming up on to James Franco and trying to hit on him, and he's trying.
They're arguing. That's the whole point.
Then they had to calm down, or else they had to smoke weed to calm down in order to get into the third level, right?
Oh, okay. And they have to keep him mellow. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
but of course.
Oh God. Oh gosh, this is becoming so. We are having two instances where James Franco plays a woman and is intimate with Adam Driver. My God,
that's basically the trope that Seth Rogen always makes in all of his movies with James Franco, is that he might be.
Yeah, okay, you know what? Let's roll with it. Okay, so we've got, okay, for lack of a better term, I'm just going to say it's the climax of the movie in more ways than one.
Oh,
Laura, you hate me right now. I'm sorry.
I hate you as the only female on this call. Oh my God.
Josh, Sean, you can hate me as well if you want. Okay. So, all right. So what's
happening?
It's okay.
I
watched the Allen Ginsberg movie where he's lovers with Aaron Tveit. So it's fine. I've seen James Franco do gay stuff with a dude before. It's cool.
Sure. Okay. You know what? Also, right. So what's happening? What's happening here? Adam Driver's in group.
Adam Driver wakes up and he's in his girl's weedception level. So that's level 3. So this is the level. This is where they plant it. How are they going to do it?
All right. So I mean, it's got to be something there's got to be like some intimacy there. There's got to be like a moment where. Well,
you don't say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, but like maybe that's how it happens. I don't know. It's like, that would be my guess. Like they're like.
And he gets up for a post-coital brownie and eats a pop brownie.
Oh.
Can we have another plot element here where they lose the Buscemi weed and then they have to find Joe Rogan so that he can give them DMT? So they can give them DMT in order to complete the process?
Listen, right as they're about to, like, that's like the second act lull where they lose the Buscemi weed, but then Joe Rogan gives them DMT and then they can press onward.
Like, that's the moment where Cillian Murphy gets shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's it.
Like,
yeah.
Like, this is the suddenly where they need to go into limbo. Where
yes, absolutely. And Joe Rogan saves them from limbo through his TMT.
With a cameo appearance by Elon Musk.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Have him be high, too. Why not?
What is Adam Driver's subconscious with all of these, you know, men in there? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's not that it's his subconscious, it's our imagining of his subconscious. So,
they recover, enough to press on. And how are they going to plant the final idea? Like, what is the word, the phrase? Because remember, it has to be simple to plant it. Yes. Remember?
Okay.
Yeah. And it's typically the form of something physical, you know, being put in a safe or, you know, that little container thing. So maybe they leave a joint or a dime bag or something in his mind safe.
I think we're missing a very obvious answer to this. Can't the girl that he's doing doggy style and girls just have like a marijuana leaf whale tail tattooed, like, you know,
like
on
a tramp stamp
of like, anything that's marijuana related, and he's just staring at that the whole time.
You know, That is how this would end.
Climax, she says to the movie.
Yeah, or she just screams Pineapple Express 4.
That's
there
it.
There we go.
That's it. That's the perfect way to end this thing.
And then that's the moment that in the Star Wars universe, his lightsaber turns blue.
He and Rey look at each other. And then that's how everything resolves.
Well, then who's going to start playing the song? Because they got to start playing the song to wake up.
Oh, the Taylor Swift song. Yeah, the Taylor Swift song.
I'm thinking Craig Robinson.
Yeah, keep him around. I feel bad that we haven't included him so far.
Well, he'd be like, because he's always like a level-headed one, you know, or somebody who's like, if we're going to do it, here's how we need to do it.
Yeah.
So to that end, he could be like, oh, I'm not getting involved in this shit, but I'll be the handler on the outside here.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to Spotify up the whole time, like ready to play at any moment.
Yeah, he's just like, he knows like, this is Taylor Swift playing Slayer. There, the whitest song imaginable. It's going to get you guys out of that dream.
So he plays the music. They zip from Girls back to Marriage Story. And then they play the song again. And then it back into the Star Wars universe and then zip back. And James Franco is half unconscious on his floor with a COVID weed mask on. And they take it off. They take it off.
And they have to get out in time for him to, you know, wake up and come find them. So they don't, so that he doesn't think, did something to him.
And very importantly, they'd have to open all of the windows of his house and light some incense or something.
Yeah, because the smell, and make sure you can wake up. Because that I feel like that
that's
smell
a lot of weed.
Okay.
So they aerate the house. They leave him to wake up naturally in his own home, and they go to wait for the inevitable call.
And he agrees to do the picture.
Yeah, he would, because he just has this insatiable, sudden desire to be involved in Seth Rogen's weed culture and thinks that is the best way to do it.
Particularly Pineapple Express 4.
And most importantly, he can, if there is ever a problem with making Pineapple Express 4 before 2 and 3, he can just look at Adam and say, that's how the Star Wars trilogies went. It went friggin' 5. four, five, and six, and then they made 1, 2, and 3, and then they jumped right to the last 3. So don't you talk to me about numbers.
Okay, that's a good point. Also, how about this? Adam Driver's clearly been gunning for an Oscar. He was Oscar nominated for Marriage Story, I think for Black Klansman too. What if the movie that wins him his Oscar is Pineapple Express 4?
There would have to be a lot of weedception with the Academy to get that idea planted.
What if they try to do that?
Oh, that's the plot of Pineapple Express 2.
No, that's the plot of Inception 2.
How do we hotbox an entire theater full of people?
Yeah, Inception 2. How to weedception in the entire Academy to get Adam Driver an Oscar for Pineapple Express 4. Yep.
Hello, everyone. This is a Sean Connery impersonator. I'm here to give you some context for the next joke. On the first episode of Let's Remake a Movie, we had Indiana Jones fight Joe Exotic. Feel free to listen to that episode right after this one is done. After a long battle that included tigers, meth, cult followers, and that bitch Carol Baskin, my son Indiana vanquished Joe Exotic. Or so we thought.
And then there's also an MCU-style mid-credit scene where suddenly we cut to Danny McBride in his grow house, and we see some cowboy boots on the floor saying, I hear you can do some fancy things with drugs. And he goes, who's asking? And then Joe Exotic steps out of the shadows, still burned from his fall into a volcano, but nevertheless alive.
Gotta connect the universes.
That's how cinematic universe.
Oh, yep. That's brilliant. Oh, so Joe Exotic's not dead. That's fantastic.
But you can't kill that evil.
No, so that means Indy was not able to kill Joe Exotic, so is Joe Exotic the one that survived in the last one?
Well, it could very well be a an Emperor Palpatine situation where they either brought him back to life or cloned him or something.
I like
him. Let's not get too bogged down in the specifics here.
Okay, let's go with Palpatine. But Joe Exotic's alive, and he confronts Danny McBride.
Joe Exotic is the Palpatine of this universe.
Yes, absolutely. So we've got the plot of Inception 2, where they tried to weed-sept the Academy to get Adam Driver his Oscar over, like, you know, Christian Bale or somebody.
Because do you think Adam Driver would figure out what they tried to do? Ever.
What if eventually he does?
And he gets so mad, which is why he forces them into doing the weedception to the Academy. Like, you guys screwed me over and now you're going to pay by making sure I get my Oscar.
Yes. Yes. What if he's in Pineapple Express 4 and some serious like Oscar bait movie directed by Noah Baumbach and he wants his Oscar for the Oscar bait movie, but they do it so he gets it for Pineapple Express 4?
Because in true Seth Rogen style, they whoopsie-daisied that and they were supposed to do it for the Oscar bait, but they accidentally did it for Pineapple Express 4.
Yes, exactly.
That is totally Seth Rogen.
Okay, you know that. Okay, well, now we got the plot of Inception 2.
Wow, we are just so good at franchising.
Listen, we should like, okay, they're gonna like, so look, you look at the franchises they're trying to make these days. Ours are so much better. Hire us, Hollywood.
Hire us.
Well, it's also exactly in the vein of a Seth Rogen movie, because if you look at something like The Disaster Artist, where it's a movie about making a bad movie, and then suddenly they're getting Oscar nominations for it, and yes. Suddenly
you can't even James Franco is contending with
Gary Oldman.
Oh yes, that's right.
It makes perfect sense.
What better Oscar battle could, because Gary Oldman was up for playing Winston Churchill. What better, and yeah. James Franco was playing Tommy Wiseau, who made The Room. What oh better God. Oscar battle? Than Tommy Wiseau versus Winston Churchill. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
A mashup just made in Hollywood heaven.
Oh my God. Yeah. Maybe that's our next crossover movie.
You are lying. You're not Winston Churchill.
You're tearing me apart, Winston.
Gary.
But of course, if they are going to do that at the Oscars and he does actually win, they will have to have that live concert of Taylor Swift singing the song.
What if that's it? Pineapple
at the Academy. She gets the Oscar nomination for Best Original Song.
Even though it's not original. Slayer.
Biggest crossover hit since Man of Constant Sorrow.
Yep.
It's like, oh man. It's like.
Now, let's remember though that when Pineapple Express came out, James Franco and Seth Rogen did come out on the VMAs, or not the VMAs, the MTV Movie Awards. Basically with a cloud of fake weed smoke and smoking fake joints. So there's nothing to suggest that they wouldn't, you know, drug someone essentially for this.
They got to get Adam Driver his Oscar.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we got ourselves a franchise. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie. We hope you enjoyed Seth Rogen's Inception as much as we enjoyed talking about it. Connor, play us out.
Dreams within dreams, coming apart at the seams. I tried to make it out alive if I wasn't so high. We gotta get Adam Driver to star in our movie, even if James Franco has to play his wife. First we're in Star Wars, and then we're in Marriage Story, using marijuana to get inside his head. We've got the dankest weed that man has ever seen, but it's Kylo Ren gonna kill us while we're high. We're in Inception. Inception, invading Adam Driver's dreams. He wants nothing to do with us unless he's high. Inception, invading Adam Driver's dreams. We're in limbo, can Joe again give us some DMT? We're in limbo, can Joe again give us some DMT? We're all super high in Adam Driver's mind. We're so close to getting him in our film. But can we get him to agree to be in a stoner comedy while he and Scar Joe are getting a divorce? We've got the dankest weed that man has ever seen. But it's Kylo Ren gonna kill us while we're high. We're in Inception. Inception, invading Adam Driver's dreams. He wants nothing to do with us unless he's high. Inception. Inception, invading Adam Driver's dreams. We're in limbo. Can Joe can give us some DMT? We're in limbo. Can Joe Rogan give us some DMT?
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you want to support us, like, subscribe, and drop a comment. We're available on all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Let's Remake a Movie, and send us your ideas for which movies we should remake next. Thank you so much, and see you next time.